All right. Well, good evening. We'll go ahead and get started. And we do want to welcome you out tonight. Thank you so much for being here. I'd like to open up with a couple announcements, and then we'll have some prayer, and then get into our devotion for the evening. So a couple things real quick I want to make sure you know about is this coming Saturday is our men's prayer breakfast. And so, guys, you don't want to miss out on that. That is at 8 a.m. This Saturday. If you'd like to come help prepare some food, you can come about 7:15. But it's free of charge. There's no cost. Guys of all ages are welcome to come. If you want to bring your child or grandchild, that would be great. If they're able to kind of, you know, if you think they're able to sit through the devotion and all that, great. So that's going on 8 a.m. Going to have a great time of fellowship and time in the Word and then some great food. We only have two more of these. And so we stop in May. So May is the last prayer breakfast that we have. And then we'll pick it back up in October. So we go October through May, first Saturday of the month. So that's this coming Saturday. So don't miss out on that, guys. Also, just a reminder for the ladies, there is the painting and fellowship event that's going on April 20th at 11 a.m. The cost for that is $25. And so you can sign up at the Welcome Center and you can either pay in person. You can let Kelsey know or my. Also, our student ministry has an all-nighter coming up Friday, April 12th. And so that's just a couple Fridays away. 9 until 7 a.m. the next morning on Saturday morning. And so that's for kids ages 7th through 12th grade. So if you know a student that would be interested in that, let them know about that. At the Welcome Center, there are some little information cards about the student ministry here. If you have any specific questions, you can see Pastor Greg after service tonight is obviously there upstairs. Also, something you're going to hear about this Sunday, and we're going to talk about it for a couple of weeks. We're so excited about doing again. We've not done it for a couple years. On Sunday, April 28th, we're going to be having a Compassion Sunday. And so we have worked with and partnered with Compassion International for many years. And so you'll have a chance on that Sunday to prayerfully consider sponsoring a child somewhere in the world that is struggling with poverty. And you can not only help them with their physical needs, medical needs, educational needs, but also their spiritual needs, which is the greatest impact we can have. And so again, April 28th, you'll be hearing much more about this in the coming weeks. There'll be a table set up and all of that. So I encourage you to be praying about how the Lord would have you to be involved in that. I'm so excited. Jeff and Margie Morgan are going to kind of be sharing that morning as well. Their experience with Compassion and how the Lord has just blessed tremendously through them partnering with that ministry. So that's going on. Don't want to miss out on that. Something we just kind of put together here in the last couple, well, this last week, that we'd like to do every once in a while is Sunday, April 14th. So that's going to be two Sundays from now. Right after our evening service, we're going to kind of be having like a little ice cream social. So right after service, we're just going to have a time over here in the fellowship hall with ice cream, all kinds of Sunday toppings, whatever you want to put on there, as much as you want to put on there, whatever. And so we're just going to have a time of a fellowship hanging out. So right after our evening service on Sunday, April 14th, we're just going to kind of be hanging out, having some ice cream. So we'd love to have you join us for that. It's going to be a lot of fun. Also, Widowers Banquet is coming up the end of this month. And so as far as help, I believe it's pretty well filled in for helping with servers, kitchen help, all that kind of stuff. The one thing that we were still needing that I think is still in need for is just a couple adults that would be willing, or maybe one adult and one teenager, to help watch kids of those who are serving at Widows Banquet. So what we do at Widows Banquet is we invite any widows and widowers from the community to come in. We put on a dinner for them. We wait on them and we serve them and all of that. They come into the auditorium. We have a time of music, a time of worship, a time in the Word with them to just encourage them and love on them. And so, but a lot of times servers or people on the praise team or different things have little ones. And so we want to provide nursery for those who are serving. So if you're interested in that, please sign up tonight before you leave. Let me know if you have any questions on that, all right? And the age group would be a little bit above normal nursery. Usually nursery is up till 2 years old. This would probably be more like up to 5, but it still would not be a lot of kids. It would only be a small amount of kids, but let me know if you're interested and we can definitely give you more information on that, all right? Lastly, this coming Sunday, April 7th, is going to be right after the morning service, a short informational meeting about our ladies' fall retreat. And so that's going to be going on in September. So if you are interested in that, maybe you have signed up to get some more information or you have questions, you can come to this meeting right after service on Sunday and get any questions you have answered. You'll get more information about specifics about things, but it's going to be an awesome retreat. Again, I always hear all the ladies talk about how impactful it is for them in Christ and in fellowship and just time away. And so you don't want to miss out on that. And if you were here a couple weeks ago, you got to hear from Kelsey and Danielle about some of the great things you'll be doing, like axe throwing, which they wanted to know if there was an axe. And I said, no, we don't have an axe in the building. I don't know what you're talking about, but they may do. They figured a way out with a little hammer or something. I don't know. But it was a lot of fun. So anyway, so that's going to be going on this Sunday, informational meeting. Don't miss out on that. All right. One more thing I do want to share real quick is many of you guys have already heard about these and saw these out here. Out in the lobby, we do have our gospel cards. And so what this is if you have someone in your area of influence that maybe doesn't know what the gospel is, never really heard the gospel, this is a super easy way to communicate that with them. So you just give them this little card. There's a QR code on here. And on that QR code, it's going to take them to our website where there's a 2-minute video explanation of the gospel. With that, there's also a bunch of kind of more in-depth explanation in print about what the gospel is. And so you give this to somebody, they're able to hear a short video on what the gospel is, and then they're also able to read much more about it with scripture and everything else and go as deep into it as they want to go into it, all right? And it's also a great way, there's an invitation on the back here. It just has our church time, services, address, website, all that stuff on there. So I love that these went out 2 Sundays ago, I think. And Sandra and I and the boys were on vacation, and so I think it was Monday or right after Sunday, Pastor Greg sent me a picture of the wall, and it was like all the baskets were empty. And so it was really cool to see those get taken and stuff. So there's a bunch more out there. If this would be a blessing to you, if you want to give this to somebody, again, in your area of influence, I encourage you to grab one. Super easy tool and resource to be able to help encourage somebody with the gospel. All right. Well, before we pray, I do want to share another praise. And so this was just a really, really cool thing that God did. So many of you were here on Sunday for Easter Sunday, and it was just such a great day, such a great service in the morning there. One of the amazing things that I'm not usually big into, we don't talk a lot about numbers. I know a lot of times we think, you know, if there's a lot of people that show up, it was a good thing. I don't think that's always true. I think if a lot of people come and we do the right thing by giving them the gospel while they're here, that's a great thing. But if you remember from Sunday, we just had church, right? We just did a normal church service. We didn't have anything crazy going on trying to, like, you know, kind of steer into the Easter crowd. We just wanted to have church. And so the reason we do that is because I, a lot of times, and just talking to other pastor friends and stuff, sometimes I think somebody goes to a church on Easter Sunday and they see this big production, you know, and some churches do it way bigger than others. And that's fine, that's good, that's great. But then those same visitors come back a week or two later and they go, this isn't what I saw when I was here last. Like this about that, because he said this church that he was at would like bring in like a string orchestra and like hire musicians and like all this stuff for Easter. And then the next Sunday, the pastor and most of the staff would take a vacation week because they were so tired from the week before. And my roommate at the time, well, was a roommate in college, but my good friend Vince, he said, man, I got to do worship with like the B musicians because everybody else is tired. They all at home sleeping it off. So, but we were joking about that, like this big, huge production. And it's fine if churches do that. I get it. They want to try to appeal to those that aren't in church. I get it. But for us, I just wanted to have church. And that way, if somebody comes back and God blesses us in that way, this Sunday, they know what to expect. They're going to have church just like we did. Saying all that, God moved in a huge way this Sunday. So we don't always take account of how many people are in service. We always take account of our classrooms for our kids, because if there's ever an emergency situation, like a fire or something, and the kids are going out of the building, we want to know, okay, when Julie was teaching, Miss Julie's class has 12. So how many? She has 12. And we always make sure of that. So this Sunday, we counted the auditorium. And so we had 201. You believe that? 201 in this room. And the reason that's amazing, and we've been praying about God moving in a big way, is that's the first time on Easter Sunday that we've had 200 or more in this room since 2011. So the last time we had over 200 on an Easter Sunday was 2011. And it was amazing to see what God did. And so we had 201 in here. In the building, we had 273. In attendance on Sunday morning, counting all our kids' classes and volunteers and helpers and workers and all that. So I just want to share that as a huge praise, because a lot of you have been praying for God to do a great move and continue to move in our church. And again, it's awesome to see all these people coming out, but if we didn't give them the gospel like we did, if we didn't encourage their kids with the gospel like we did, we would have wasted that opportunity. And so I'm so thankful for our junior church leaders, volunteers, helpers. Actually, Julie subbed on Sunday. So what a praise that she was willing to step out of Easter Sunday to go be a blessing. And we've talked about this before. That's not a sacrifice, right? When you're stepping in with those kids, it's a blessing. We don't always think of it that way, but it is. And so what a huge praise to see how God moved. And so I just want to thank you for your prayers, all that you're doing to serve the Lord here, and just to see what God is going to continue to do. It's just what a blessing. So let's pray. And we'll ask the Lord to be with our time tonight, and then also just encourage our hearts in him tonight. Father, we thank you so much for what we just talked about. Lord, that you are so good to us. And Lord, you blessed in a mighty way. But Lord, our prayer has been, coming up to Easter, that it would not just be about getting a bunch of visitors on Easter, which that's amazing, and it's awesome that we were able to be a part of that, Lord. And we are so thankful that your word was able to go forth and that the gospel was preached, Lord, because it's not about me, a praise team, a program. It's not about building North Goodland's brand. Lord, it's about you. Everything we do centers in Christ. And so thank you for every visit on Easter Sunday, Lord, but we're praying that those visitors would return. And Lord, maybe some of them are family members and they live in a different area. So Lord, maybe coming here would be difficult for the commute. Then Lord, I pray and we pray together as a body of Christ that they would get connected to a local church, a Bible preaching church in their community. Lord, that it would spark a move in this county where not just some people went to church on an Easter Sunday, but it started something in those individual lives where church became a normal thing for them. Maybe again, for the first time in a long time, or maybe for the first time. And so, Lord, we're just so thankful for what you're doing here, how you're moving. It's evident that your hand is on this place. But, Lord, I want us to remember that your hand is not moving in this place because of who we are. You're moving in this place because you said you will build your church. And so, Lord, I pray that we would always be cautious and aware that we give all the glory to you and to your spirit's moving. Because, Lord, it's easy to draw a crowd, but we don't want to draw a crowd. Lord, we're asking you to build your church and to add to the church daily such as should be saved. And so, Father, would you continue to work as only you can? Thank you for every volunteer, leader, helper, usher, greeter, welcome center person, the people that worked at Connection, just running back and forth, making coffee. Lord, just every single person that's involved in serving here, Lord, whether it be on a Wednesday night with our Word of Life program, our teens, whether it be on a Sunday. Lord, I just am so thankful for each one of them, because they're making an impact for Christ by just being available to be used. Lord, we lift up tonight, Lord, we pray that you would just be with us as we spend time in your word. I pray that you'd help us to understand in a better way what we're going to be talking about tonight, Lord. And again, for your glory and our blessing. Father, be with the student ministry upstairs. Bless them in a mighty way. Be with the Word of Life ministry, with the Gopher Buddies and the Olympians. And again, speak through the teachers and small group leaders that they would encourage those kids in the word of God. And so, Lord, again, we thank you for tonight. Thank you for all that you're doing. And again, may you be glorified. And all of this we ask in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, so tonight we are officially, or I should say last week, we were officially done with Revelation. And so I looked back. I couldn't remember when we started that. I kept thinking it was like June or July. It was actually May of last year that we started Revelation. So it took us a little bit, but it was good for us because I think we went longer through Genesis and Exodus. So it took us longer in Genesis and Exodus than Revelation, believe it or not. But so tonight what I'd like to do is, I don't have clipboards for you. I don't have a handout for you tonight. I'm just going to kind of do maybe a little bit more of a simple devotion tonight. But I want to talk about the foundation of prayer. So I want to talk about prayer tonight. Now, this may turn into next week, we might talk about prayer a little more. I'm not quite sure yet how the Lord's leading on that, but I would love to just kind of journey through this idea of prayer for sure tonight and possibly in the next week or so. And like I said before, if you have something you would like to study, maybe there's a topic or a scripture or a Bible book or a passage specific that you have questions on or you would like to walk through, let me know. What we usually do on Wednesday nights is you kind of lead. This kind of all started with six of us around a table in a little room over here, and it was a much more smaller group, and so we could just kind of, people were like, hey, can we talk about this for a while? Sure, let's talk about that. And so I can't guarantee depending on what you want to talk about, how long it will take me to prep that. Like if Revelation, that took a couple weeks of preparation, believe it or not. But if there's something that you would like to dive into, a question or a passage that you would like to walk through, let me know. And I don't like share who said this is what we're going to be talking about. If it's something maybe that you want to talk about and you don't want to be embarrassed, that's totally fine. But let me know, all right? And I'd love to journey through that with you. So diving into this idea of the foundation of prayer. Now, if you have a copy of God's Word, turn to Ephesians chapter 3. That's where we're going to be in just a few moments. Ephesians chapter 3. And we're going to jump into a part of that chapter here in just a moment. But before we dive too much into this idea, I really wanted to take just a moment and just kind of hear from you and kind of walk through basically the purpose of prayer. As a believer, as a Christian, what are the purposes of prayer? Now, what I would usually do is just say, who wants to answer that? And then hands go up. I kind of thought about this today. I would like, because I don't know about you, but I could go, well, it's this, 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 and then the list is done. And everyone else is like, well, that's fine. I didn't want to talk anyway. So here's what I'd like to do. If you have a purpose of prayer that you think of, let's say you get one answer, okay? So you can answer one time, and then if nobody else does anything, then we'll come back around, okay? But just gives everyone a chance to kind of get involved. I'd love to hear from everyone as much as possible. So to you, when you hear the purpose of prayer, what is the purpose? What are the purposes of prayer? Who wants to start us off? Yeah, Jeff. Okay. I'm going to write them down. You probably can't see them, but that's fine. But if you can, write them down too. That's cool. I'm also not a great speller, so don't make fun of me, okay? I love words spell check thing. I made it through college on spell check, okay? Now they got that Grammarly. Does anyone use Grammarly? Have you ever used it? It like fixes everything. It's like, hey, if you can't really figure out how to write, use this program. It'll write for you with your job interview. And I'm like, probably should know how to write things. But anyway, so any other thoughts? What else are some purposes of prayer? Yeah, Melissa. Okay. I think that's a huge part of prayer. What else? Purposes of prayer. What else would you say are purposes? Julie. Okay. What else? Yeah, Margie. Okay. Like a calmness? Yeah, okay. Okay, brings calmness into our life. What's another word for that calmness, maybe? Okay, comfort. What was another one? Peace. What else? Yeah, Terry. Grow in Christ. Okay. Absolutely. Grow in Christ. Yeah. Yep. Okay. Okay. Yeah, Marshall. Okay. Larry, still a petition? Close enough. Works enough. Anyone else? Yeah, Andy. Praise. Absolutely. What else? Kelsey. Yeah, so intercession. Yep. But you did say something there. So we come in prayer in humility, right? Yeah, we're humble. Okay, so there's a humble. We're humble when we come in prayer. So it humbles us to remember that we can't, but he can, right? Absolutely. That's a good thing, by the way. It's good to feel small in God's presence, right? In a sense. Yes. That's okay. I probably couldn't spell it anyway. Guidance? That's okay. Yeah. So what'd you say before guidance? Help. Help and guidance. Yeah. What else? With help and guidance, we also say wisdom, right? To bring wisdom to us, okay? Yeah, Paige. Okay? Okay. Okay, communication with the Lord. Yeah. Confession. Yep. Yeah. Anything else? This is awesome. I would also say maybe you might think the word repentance, right? Like we repent through prayer. That's a purpose of prayer, to repent, to confess, okay? We usually think about repentance in what regard? Like when do we usually think we need to repent? Okay, it means a change in action or a mindset. When you do something bad, when you sin, right? You think, oh, I gotta make this, right? I gotta repent of this. But really, repentance is just basically changing my way of thinking and desiring to think more like he thinks. So it may not necessarily be a sin thing. It could be just, I think church is like this. And then by growing in Christ, I'm understanding, oh, church isn't like that. Church is more like this. And what I thought wasn't bad just wasn't maybe as close to what Scripture says. And so I changed my thinking on that and desire to think more like what Christ does. So it's not just, I did a bad thing, I need to ask for forgiveness. It is that. But it's also more than that. It's that changing of our mind, right? Which is always what's happening in the Christian life. We're always changing and growing and want to be thinking differently, right? So with all of this, what are some fears that we have? Some fears in prayer, either individually by myself or with a group? Yeah, Andy. Huh? Okay. Now that might mean, give me an example, not specific to you, Andy, but give me a rough example of what do you mean by that? Okay, yeah. I just had a conversation with somebody recently about this, but yeah, Lord, I want you to use me. And then you stop praying and the phone rings and you're like, hello? And they're like, hey, can you serve in this way? And you're like, I don't want to do that. Click. And the Lord's like, I just gave you an opportunity, right? But yeah, like he'll answer that, right? Paige. Okay. It's great. Yeah, I ask for God to do whatever, help in this way, do this thing, and he answers me, but he does it completely different than what I thought he would do. That's absolutely true, right? Sometimes the best answer he can give us is no. Right? But we think this has got to be the Lord's will. This has got to be what he would have for me. This has got to be good. And then we're like, but he seems like he's saying no. What's another answer he might give? No, yes, and wait, right? Be patient, not now. But we have a hard time with that, don't we? Because, man, we think, but God, I asked you. You kind of got to do it, don't you? No, he's God. He's the one in control. What's another fear we might have, either praying individually or in a group? Julie. Okay. Now, what do you mean by, in what way, rejection? Okay. 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 Yep. Okay. Yep. Yeah, I like that. Why bother? Okay. Yeah, Marshall. Yes. Yep. Yep. Yes. Yeah, I've prayed for this thing so many times, and nothing's changing, right? Absolutely. Someone back here, I saw a hand somewhere. Yeah, Chrissy. Okay. Okay. Some guilt. You fear that guilt's going to somehow hinder your prayer life or hinder what God wants to do in prayer? Anyone else? How about praying in a group? Avi, go ahead. Sorry, but.
That's where I was going to just say as far as the group part. I think sometimes, there's the fear of man. There's the fear of, how do you say no?
Yeah, fear of man is exactly it. And that's all of that, right? That's why I think a lot of people, I've heard somebody say one time that the reason they didn't pray, in a small group, they wouldn't pray out loud is because they couldn't pray like so-and-so prayed out loud. And they actually said this. They said, man, when so-and-so prays out loud, it's like I'm in the presence of God. when I start praying out loud, I feel like I'm just blubbering, right? Like I'm not really coming together like this other person. So what is that? That's fear of man, right? So quickly, when we compare these two lists, we realize that nothing over here is affirmed by any of this, right? Right? If this is all true and God invites us into this, then this list doesn't need to exist, right? Because I don't need to fear man because I'm not in communication with man primarily. I'm in communication with who? God, right? I don't need to fear when I'm interceding or petitioning or coming, asking for God to work in some way. I don't need to fear like how he's going to answer or will he answer? Maybe he's rejecting me because he tells me that the purpose of prayer is to pray and intercede and to come before him and to trust him, right? So I can trust him with that intercession, whether it's interceding for myself. By the way, it's okay to pray for yourself. It's good to pray and ask God to work in you and to deal with things in you. And it's great to pray for others. But when we do that, we know he invites us into that, right? He says, come boldly to the throne of grace that you might receive. So if I know he tells me this is the purpose of prayer, I don't need to fear this. Maybe he's going to reject me. Maybe he's not going to answer the right way. No, we trust. And so I wanted to walk this out because I think we let this list dominate our thinking and we forget that compare the two. There's much more to be thankful for in prayer. There's much more blessing in the purpose of prayer. And these fears, they're non-existent. They don't really matter. They're real in the sense that we give them value and worth, right? Because we let the fear of man guide us. When you're in prayer, whether it be individually or in a small group, you're just because you're in a small group of other believers doesn't mean you're praying to them. You're praying with them, right? And I know it's scary or intimidating. And I don't believe that. I've had people tell me other times, they'll say, well, I didn't pray in that small group setting because I generally felt like the Lord didn't want me to. Great. Then you just zip it. Because here's the other thing. Sometimes we can start to get prideful and we start to pray in a group to impress the people we're with so that they'll leave and go, now that guy or that woman, they can pray. And we've totally missed the whole point. Because again, none of the purposes of prayer center on me being what's important, centering in Christ, right? It's a relationship with Christ. And so I want to jump into Ephesians 3. And again, we most likely will continue through something on prayer next week, if that's something that you guys would be encouraged to walk through. But Ephesians 3, we're going to read in verses 14 through 21. So Ephesians 3, verses 14 through 21. So this is one of the prayers of the Apostle Paul for the church. So Paul prayed often for the churches that he was a part of. He had a great love for the church. He was not a pastor. He was an apostle. But he has a pastor's heart. So he was not a pastor in the sense of an office or anything like that. He was an apostle. But he prays for the church like he's their pastor. He's their spiritual father is kind of how it comes across. And so he has a great love for the church. So he's praying for them. So if somebody would like to volunteer to read verses 14 through 17, and then we'll go 18 through 21. So I'll break it up so you're not reading the whole thing, just yourself. But 14 through 17, who'd like to read that for us? Okay, Marshall. And then 18 through 21, who wants to read that one? Jeff, you want to grab that one? Okay. All right, so Ephesians 3, 14 through 17. Marshall, whenever you're ready. Awesome. Thank you, guys. Amen. So there was one purpose that I think we all kind of understand as a purpose in prayer, but he talks about it here in this passage a couple times. And I didn't write it up there, and I don't really have a whole lot of room, but if you want to note it or whatever, it's ultimate purpose of prayer is to glorify God, right? The ultimate purpose of prayer is that God is glorified. And so as we talk about this foundation of prayer, I think in this passage, we see an example of something that shows us one of the key foundations of prayer. So it's the most important element in prayer as we pray and seek the Lord as followers of Christ. And that is that God is your Father in Christ. That we pray to our Father in heaven. When we understand that simple and yet amazing truth, prayer makes sense and becomes, if you will, very easy. It becomes natural. We stop worrying about others and what they think of my prayers, and we become fixated on the Father. We stop worrying about, when I'm in a group and I'm praying, I'm not worried about what Josh or William or whoever else is thinking about what I'm praying about. I'm focused on my Father. I'm focused on that relationship. And so the pray becomes easier individually. I'm not worried about rejection or fear or how he's going to answer, although those are things we all wrestle with, because he's my Father and he loves me and cares for me in Christ. And so it changes how I pray. When I don't understand, when we don't understand that he is our Father, prayer becomes difficult and complicated, way more than it was ever intended to be. So Jesus demonstrated this truth for us while walking on earth. In the Old Testament, you will find about a dozen or so references to God as Father, but it's always nationally. So it's not my Father in heaven, it's our Father, the nation of Israel. It's the nation of Israel's Father. It's always a national sense. It is not looked at as individually or intimate. It wasn't, the Old Testament Jewish believers didn't think God is my Father in an intimate sense. He was holy. He's above all of that. He's our national Father, if you will, right? We're his children through Abraham. But it's not this intimate father-son, father-daughter type relationship. Jesus, when he steps on planet Earth, he completely turns it all around and teaches something actually revolutionary about God. In just the Gospels, there are 60 references to God as Father. So a dozen or so in the Old Testament. In just the four Gospels, there's 60 or so references to God as Father. And this is not in a general sense. Some of that might be in the sense of our Father generally, but it's also more individual and intimate. It's an intimate title to that we give God, our Father. He is my Father. Jesus shows us this in Matthew when the disciples ask, how do we pray? Jesus says, pray like this, our Father. And the disciples had a desire to pray, but wanted to know the how to. And I think that's a lot of us. We want to pray. We think we should pray. We feel convicted to pray. But sometimes you sit down and you're like, I don't really know where to start, right? Or like I run through all the list of things I can think of and I'm like, now what do? I can't think of anything else to say, right? And so we have the desire, but it's the how to. And I love the disciples were just like, hey, could you teach us how to pray? Could you actually teach us how to do that? Because we see you praying. And I love this because even the first two disciples of Jesus, right? We see John and Andrew being the first two disciples of Jesus. Who were they following before they followed Jesus? John the Baptist disciples to pray. So they connected. Man, we see John being a man of prayer. Look how God used him. Look what God did through his ministry. And he taught his disciples to pray. We see Jesus being a man of prayer. Look what God is doing, obviously, through Christ and all that he's accomplishing. We want to be a part of what God is doing. They connected prayer to being used of God. I don't know that we always make that connection. We see somebody being used by God, and we talk about how their personality, which is part of it. We talk about their education, part of it. Their style of how they preach. Oh man, that person can really preach. And we don't talk about their prayer life. We talk about their style of preaching, how they communicate. Now, it's all part of the person. I'm not saying those things are bad. What I'm saying is that we need to think about it in the sense that, man, but it's because they were men or women of prayer. That's why God used them in tremendous ways, or one of the reasons why God used them in a tremendous way. And so where do we start in learning about prayer? Because this foundation is true. We have to see God as our Father in Christ. Well, there are many great men and women in church history of prayer and faith, and they're great examples of what prayer can do in someone's life. I heard one author say, and maybe you've felt this way, and the more you've read about or studied about different individuals in church history and their prayer life, I've heard one author say that when he first was saved and wanted to learn how to pray, he went and bought books on prayer, and they all made him feel guilty. Because it was like, this guy prays for 4 hours a day. This guy prays for 8 hours a day. This guy prayed for 12 hours a day. This guy wore ruts into the hardwood floor of his bedroom because he was on his knees so much. And you and I, we struggle with 10 or 15 minutes of prayer before we get tired and sleepy. And we feel guilty and, man, I'll never pray like that person. And while these are good examples of what God can do, and I'm not saying those are bad things, we should be able to pray and seek him for a period of time. I'm not so sure those are necessarily the best examples of what prayer can be in our lives. I believe the best example of what prayer can look like is found in the relationship between a father and his children. Practically, in our society today, in our world today, if you see a father and a son or a father and a daughter in that relationship and watch how the father cares for and nurtures their child's life and watch how the child responds in love and adoration, I think that is the better picture of what this prayer life can be between us and our father. I love the way the Amplified Bible renders verse 15 of the text that we read. It says in Ephesians 3, verse 15, "For whom every family in heaven and on earth is named." The Amplified Bible adds this, "that father from whom all fatherhood takes its title and derives its name." So what do we see? The fathers on planet earth. Now, are all fathers good fathers? No. But that example of that human father is a picture, although imperfect, but a picture of God the Father in our lives. I love what one author said, "Find a dad that loves his children and children who love that dad, and you will see the best and clearest example of what our relationship with the Heavenly Father can mature into as we grow in prayer." I love that. We read of these great heroes of the faith, and there's nothing wrong with that. I mean, there's some great men and women that have been used by God to do tremendous things and very, very strong prayer lives. And that's a good example. But I think the best example of that relationship between father and son is when you see that dynamic playing out in and around us. I'll give you an example. If my sons want to come talk to me, I have two sons. If they wanted to come talk to me, they don't build an outline of what they're going to say. Well, unless they're asking for money, maybe they would do this. I don't know, maybe. But they don't build an outline of what they're going to say and rehearse it over and over again. And they come and say, "Oh, Father, thou good and faithful one." Like, they don't do all of that, right? They just walk in and say what? "Hey, Dad." And they just have a conversation. I'm not saying that we're irreverent to God. Obviously, we're going to praise him and use words and descriptions of him we would never use for anyone else. We're going to say he is holy and just and mighty and all those things, and that's good. But we don't rehearse it in our minds 15 times and go, "Okay, I think this sounds good enough that God will believe me and listen to me and do what I think I want." No, we just come in because my father. And we said it. It's a relationship. It's just this dynamic of just coming to my father. And what an amazing gift of salvation. You can just go to the father. You're just ushered into God's presence. And he just lets you come before his throne. Not because of you. Not because I'm good enough. But through Christ and under the blood of Christ and through salvation, he ushers me in to the front. "Hey, this is my son. This is my daughter. What do you need? How can I show you my love?" And sometimes the most loving thing God does as a father is say, as we've already said, no. When my kids were real little, especially Josiah, he could have eaten mac and cheese and chicken nuggets every meal and been great. I see a couple of parents nodding their heads. Amen. I'm like, "Do you want this? Now I can have some mac and cheese?" I'm like, "We had that 4 days in a row. We probably should try something different, right?" But obviously as a father, ice cream. "Dad, can I have ice cream? It's 4:45 on a Tuesday. We haven't even had dinner yet. Can I have some ice cream?" Probably not a good idea. I'm going to say no. But what is the child here? "Well, I want ice cream. You're not giving me ice cream. You must not love me," right? They don't understand. They're not thinking like a father or a parent would think. But again, it's not about rehearsing this and convincing God. It's about just coming in the relationship that we already have in Christ. Again, for some, this is difficult because you have had a bad experience with your earthly father. Maybe you have projected those feelings you have for your earthly father on your heavenly father. And this is not true of your heavenly father. Whatever your earthly father failed you in, and my dad left when I was real young, probably about 2 years old, didn't really know him, haven't really had much of a desire to ever know him. If he's still alive, I have no idea. I didn't have any desire to have a relationship with my father because he left us and he wasn't a good person from what I hear from before my mom passed anyway. But I remember when I was first saved and first kind of introduced to the gospel, it was so hard for me because that's how God was presented to me very first thing. God wants to be your heavenly father. To me, that meant he doesn't treat people well. He's not going to stay around. He's going to think of God that way. But it wasn't until I started actually listening to people talk about who God is, the word of God declare who God is, that I saw, oh, he's nothing like my earthly father. And even if we have a good father and a good dad, it's still an imperfect picture. We praise God for those influences from our parents, moms or dads, but we understand that when those negative things creep in, we can't project that on God the Father because he is the perfect father. He is perfect and true. And here's the thing, he can be trusted. 100% he is trustworthy. So as we take all of this, I really wanted to keep it super simple tonight. I want us to apply this to our prayer life starting tonight. That means that when we pray in just a moment, whether you join the men or the ladies when they go to their time of prayer, when you're at home later tonight, before you lay your head on your pillow and you spend some time in prayer, I want you to begin evaluating, how do I see God when I pray? Like, how am I coming before him? Yes, he is holy. Yes, he is mighty. He is my king, right? He is our father, but he's still the king. And if he is the king, then we still respect him and revere him. But we don't fear him in the sense of, I got to please him, make him happy so he'll listen to me. No, he already wants to hear from you in Christ. You don't have to convince God to spend time with you. He wants that. If anything, he wants more of it. And we're stingy with our time. And we give him a little bit. And he's hungry for more. Why? Because he knows what time with him will do for us and glorify him. And so again, it's applying this. God's our father. He wants me to come before him. And so here's the thing. In just a moment, I'm going to pray. And then we're going to dismiss to, you know, the men go down the hallway to the library. Ladies go down here to the nursing room and spend some time in prayer. But as I pray in just a moment, one of the things I want to encourage you to do is one of the greatest hindrances to our prayer life is unrepentant sin. And if I have sin in my life that I have not repented of, I'm a believer, I'm a Christian, I'm saved, I know Christ is my Lord and Savior, but there's something in my life that I've committed a sinful act and I have not repented of it. I didn't lose my salvation, right? I don't repent of it to get my salvation back. That is guaranteed to a sinful temptation. He seals you into the day of redemption, okay? But as a Christian, we can still give into a sinful temptation. And so if you're here tonight and that's you, and you would say, okay, Lord, you know my heart. I know that I did this. I know I need to repent of this. Then I would encourage you, because if you don't repent of that, every time you go to pray, the Holy Spirit's going to try to draw it to your attention to repent of it. And the flesh is going to use it to convince you that you shouldn't be praying, because God doesn't hear from you because you did this. Instead of running from God, run to God. Instead of being fearful of God, have the fellowship with God that he desires to have with you. And so maybe in just a moment when I pray, you would just right there where you are, between you and the Lord, just in your heart, you would say, Lord, I repent of this. I'm sorry for this sin. I know it was wrong. I'm sorry for it. I ask you to give me the strength not to do it again, not to think that way, say that thing, or whatever it might be. And I promise you, when you give that to him, there's such freedom there. And Margie talked about the calmness that comes in prayer. Man, when we are holding on to a sinful thing and we're not giving it to the Lord, there's no peace in that. We're wrestling with that. And surrender that to him and then see him as your father and allow him to begin to grow that relationship. We don't demean him. We don't lower him down from where he is, but we can honor him and still say, you're my father in heaven through Christ. And I come to you as your son. I come to you as your daughter. And I want to just lay this before you, whatever it is. And so let's pray. I want to ask you to do that tonight. If you're here and you need to repent of something between you and the Lord, maybe you would do that. And for anyone else that's here and a follower of Christ, maybe you just begin to say, Lord, help me to pray, not in fear, but to trust that you're my Father. You are trustworthy, and I can trust in you. I can put my faith in you in prayer. Father, we thank you for this evening. And Father, we thank you for the truth that we find in your word. That, Lord, you are our Father in heaven. That through Christ, we have a relationship with the God of all creation. We didn't dive into it in this text, but we discover that through us, through your church, that if you will, and for your glory, there is nothing you cannot do. You can do exceedingly abundantly above all that we ask or think. More than we can imagine, you are able to do. And so, Lord, we need to pray that way. We need to pray believing that you are a God that can do anything if it aligns with your will, if it glorifies you. And so, Lord, I pray that we would come before you with open hearts and minds right now. If there's anyone here, Lord, that is holding on to something, maybe a past sin that they're allowing to make them feel guilty, ashamed. I pray that they would just lay that before you. Lord, maybe they've already repented of it. Maybe they've already sought forgiveness and now they just have to let go of it. Would you give them the strength to do that? Lord, if there's somebody here that is currently in a sin struggle, in the knowledge to know that victory is not only possible, it's achieved through Christ, that all we have to do is just turn from it, lay it at your feet, and you will give us the strength. You will always, always give us a way of escape from temptation. There is no temptation taken you, but that which is common to man. And God is faithful to give a way of escape, a way to endure the temptation. And Lord, for us as believers, maybe there's somebody here tonight, Lord, that's been struggling in their prayer life. It's difficult. It's complicated. I pray that knowing you are their Father will make it easy and lift any burdens or fears they may have, but they might know that they can come before you freely because of what Christ did. That through the blood of Christ, we have a relationship with God the Father. And so help us to come, Lord, as a child to their parent, as a child to their father in that relationship. Lord, thank you for prayer. Thank you for the gift that it is. And again, may you be glorified in all of this. As we go into this time of prayer, again, may you lift our hearts and minds, direct them towards you. And again, thank you for all that you're doing. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, so as I said a few moments ago, on Wednesday nights, we'll break from here. The guys will go down the hallway and pray in the library at the end of the hallway by the Word of Life room. Ladies will go down to the nursing room and pray. If you would like to, you do not have to be a part of this time. If you are not wanting to be a part of this time, that's totally fine. You're welcome to kind of hang out here in the lobby and stuff. The reason, somebody asked one time, I thought maybe I should explain this. The reason we do break into men and women, we didn't used to do this, we'd always pray together. One of the primary reasons is in about a couple of minutes, all the Word of Life kids are going to be in there playing and running around and going crazy. And it just makes it kind of difficult in here. So for space, we can't all go somewhere else. And so we started doing this. And so, but as we move forward, we do try to work in maybe once in a while a big group time of prayer in here. So we'll probably do that here in a couple of weeks, something like that. So, but we encourage you to be a part of this time if you'd like to. There are prayer guides up here. So I'll give some to one of the ladies here, Julie or Kelsey or somebody, and we'll make sure you get those. All right. Well, you guys are dismissed. Thank you so much for coming out tonight. Have a great rest of your week, and we'll see you Sunday morning.